So, I figured the most popular question of the morning would be, well, how many people were baptized this weekend in Liberia? No, nobody asked me that. So, are you moving back to Kansas? So I just got a note from Jonathan, and this weekend's campaign has finished up. They baptized 21 people. I believe that was that's an addition to a congregation. There are just so many going on that I cannot keep them straight, honestly. Anyway, 21 people baptized, and then he keeps doing this. Every time he has one of these campaigns, he gives away one more communion tray. I carried a bunch over there a few years ago, and every time I go over, you know, there's one less because they contribute those to these growing congregations. So LET, and when I say LET, that's the Liberian Evangelical Team, of which Jonathan's the lead, and there are now 9 or 10 preachers that are loosely connected in that team. So LET provided the Lord's Supper tray, cups, and chairs, and then another there's going to be a preacher, because I always ask, who's going to preach? Because my biggest concern when they go out and do the campaigns is who is going to take care of these babes in Christ. Last weekend, 78 were baptized. The previous weekend, 38 were baptized. And these are instant congregations that are, as Jonathan said, the gospel is on fire in Liberia. And this is not just them. This is the World Bible School Gospel Chariot. They team together and they go out and they do these campaigns. And I'm not sure why they're doing so many right now, but they are, and it's just a weekly thing, and I cannot keep up with it. So, no, the most popular question this morning was, when are you moving to Kansas? So let me give you a quick update here. So this is the growing family. So Jax is going to be 9, Olivia's going to be 4 coming up. Then we've got Anderson and Ada, they're down in Edmond. So, you know, we do have split, you know, so we could come back here. But the problem is George. George just came along 3 months ago. This is Emily's new baby. And they came over and said, now, we don't want to interfere with your plans moving to Kansas, but we really need your help watching the grandbaby. And so my wife, Teresa, Terry, she jumped on that. And so coming up here very quickly, she's going to have to get Olivia around in the morning and go over and watch George all day. I don't know when we're moving here. I really don't. However, there is a house now in Kansas. This is the way I left it on Friday when I came down to Edmond. So it's up there. Already been broken in once. But it's sitting there, and maybe as everything is finally finished, Terry will say, you know, I'm kind of tired. Maybe I'll move there. I don't know. But this is our current living arrangement here in North Carolina. So we've been in this trailer now for 3 years, and this is the last place it will sit. Next time it moves, I do plan on keeping it, moving it to Kansas as a guest house. But we sit behind their house there on a country highway. The nearest Walmart is 18 miles away, as well as any place to eat is 18 miles away. So anyway, that's our arrangement right now. So don't know when we're going to move, but we could. All we need to do is septic system right now. If you'd like to turn to Hebrews 5, and I really appreciate Alan's prayer this morning because it really connects with the message that I want to get across this morning. As we consider what we're doing in the Lord's church, what can I do? If you turn to Hebrews 5:11, so Paul was telling the Hebrews about Jesus, and he said, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be, and what's in that blank? Teachers, but I've left it blank because the message this morning is, where should you be? Are you doing something differently today than you were a year ago? Maybe you have become a teacher. Maybe you've become a worship leader of some kind. Maybe you've become a ministry leader. But this is the blank that you need to fill in how you're going to serve God. But see, they weren't growing. They needed someone to teach them again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. Goes on to say in chapter 6, we need to leave the elementary doctrine. When I think about a doctrine of the Bible that we need to leave and move beyond, I think of music in the church. So many churches are going to instrumental music these days. The Bible's established that it's not part of God's worship, but yet we're turning away. Now, in Liberia, I bet if they had money, they'd have instruments. But they don't have instruments. They don't have money, so they don't have instruments. What do? They like to dance in the worship service. So we've had to deal with that over there. But we need to leave these things, go on, not laying again the foundation and keep questioning things, because as long as you're still questioning the basic doctrines of the Bible, you will never grow into a true spiritual Christian. So I thought, well, you know, how do you know you're growing? And I think I just want to leave you with this one thought, and that is, what are you doing differently today than you were a year ago or even a month ago? Now, I'm going to show you some pictures of what's going on in Liberia, and I'm going to talk about some of the people. And I want you to just think about this idea, you know, what these people are doing versus what you can do. Now, if you're a new member, you probably did the gift assessment here in this congregation. One of the best things we ever did in this congregation was to become a gift-oriented congregation where people are using their gifts. So you've probably done that. So the question is, how are you using those gifts? These people are using the gifts in a certain way. So as Tom said, we've been associated with these Jonathan and the team since 2011, but they came back to Liberia in 2015 when they graduated. And Liberia is kind of on the, people always ask where, and I kind of go like this, you know, and it's over here. But you can see where Liberia is. It's actually a made up of indigenous people plus former slaves of America who went back over there in the 1800s. It's the country with it's the longest republic in Africa. And so they're situated near the capital. So down near the capital, if you look at the lower left, you'll see the capital. And then the airport is quite a ways out. And then their village that we work out of is up the highway, one of the few paved highways in the country. So this shows you that, and you'll notice, you know, not only have I grown, so has Jonathan. He's real young and thin here. But what we've got is Randolph is on the far left. They're all related. Randolph's a cousin. He was 1 year behind. Then Jonathan. Then Calvin's a cousin. And then Lennon is a brother, Jonathan's brother. And this is Thomas Tingba on the far right. He did not finish college, but he's responsible for the conversion of Jonathan and Lennon. In fact, he lives 300 miles away. What is that, about a six-hour drive for us here? 14 hours. Last year, it was the roughest drive I've ever done, and you know, it was all I could do to sit in the back seat and not say, "Are we there yet?" it was a tough trip. But Thomas is just a wonderful guy. He lives out in the middle of nowhere and preaches in a congregation there, and he's their uncle. So, like Tom said, I went over for their graduation in Nigeria in 2015, and then they went back to work. And you see, it's easy to use the word missionary, but Africa's changing. You don't see missionaries over there. Missionary is American that goes over and he serves God and converts people. No, it's all indigenous people who have gone to college, mostly in Africa, and they have gone back to their own countries and now are working for God. So here's some of the team members. Marshall here, he's the preacher in the congregation there in Wiala, Randolph. He preaches in a in fact, we're going to go to his congregation this trip. He preaches out on the rubber plantation. Sam preaches in another congregation, rubber plantation. Orlando preaches in a he's kind of a distance off. But all of these people, if they're not in a distance, they're also teachers in the school there, and I'll show you the school here in a little bit. There are other people active over there, and I guess that's one of my disappointments. I came into this game very late, and there is really no cooperation between the Americans when they go over there. I mean, I've met Ken, but we had a conversation, but that's the last I kind of heard from him. But he's down in Monrovia trying to bring back up the Bible college down in Monrovia that went in disrepair when the Civil War occurred in 1982 to 1994. And so he's trying to do that, but I understand he's not doing too well physically. Isaac Day, he runs the Restoration Institute and Agricultural School down near Monrovia. And this particular location is supported by the Robertsons there at White's Ferry Road. And so I met him at the Preachers Conference a couple years ago. Really great, wise preacher. And of course, they work together. They all work together. The locals work together. The Americans just don't for whatever reason. I don't understand it fully. So what's happening over there right now? So here's 2 weekends ago. 38 people baptized, new congregation from a campaign. And so this is a brand new congregation now that is being served by one of the preachers that's been assigned to that congregation. I don't think this would ever happen here. But this is a congregation that was denominational and became the Lord's church. And Etta, here's Amara, and this is Maxwell. And last year I took my best friend's daughter over. What a blessing she was, because ladies don't go over there. And so the ladies of the congregation had somebody to connect to. And so it was very nice for her to go and be able to connect with the ladies of the congregation, all the wives. So here's a congregation that used to be denominational and now is the Lord's church. Here's a congregation waiting to convert. So when we made this trip out into the country, Thomas made arrangements with the village chief for us to go up and do some street preaching. And, you know, if there's one thing about growing as a Christian, you've got to be ready to give an answer, especially when you're around Jonathan. Because Jonathan, Greg, I want you to say a few words here about this topic. And I have no warning whatsoever. And this was a case. This was a congregation, an Episcopal congregation. What was so interesting is the preacher, he said, you know, our children have been coming home from school and they have questions, they've been told things about baptism. Could you tell us about baptism? So I kicked it off. And then the other, Jonathan and Augustine, Sam, took over. And when we got done, we had a preacher and his congregation that were ready to become members of the church. The hang-up was that they received money from the Episcopal Church, and if they were to convert, they would not have any money. So this is an example of, you know, something that could happen here where we could sponsor such a congregation to bring them over to become a Lord's church. So it's quite an interesting little evening where we did some street preaching. And unfortunately, the preacher was sick and he actually died this past week. So I'm not sure what the status is going to be of this congregation. So once again, being ready. Jonathan calls on me to baptize. And so this was out there in the village out in the middle of nowhere. And in fact, on the right, I didn't know that I was going to be teaching that lesson that morning. So I had to pull out my laptop, pull out my lesson that actually I had prepared for Wiala, but had to present here out in the country at this congregation. So in order to be able to do that, you need to grow in the Word. And I'm not saying be like me, but what is it that you're doing differently? Are you ready to give an answer to someone that might come up and say, hey, what's this thing about baptism in the church? And how come you don't use instruments in your worship? Can you answer those basic questions? And that's what growth is about, being ready to give an answer for what we believe. So here's a way that they give over there. Now this is Jonathan and Mary, right? Kind of right there in the that's the father and mother of all these kids. The problem is those are not all their kids. Jonathan only has four of his own. The rest are kids that he's taken in under his roof, and he supports them. Now I've had to talk to him a couple times. I said, Jonathan, if you're going to take these kids in, that means responsibility, and that means paying their high school fees. So it costs money to go to high school there. The one on the far left is Augustine. And why is it important to support and get kids through high school? Because Augustine is now a preacher. I don't know who else. I think Sam might be in this picture. I think Sam is second from the left. He's in line to become a preacher. So when you get the kids through school, they become preachers. So Jonathan and Mary have taken, and Jonathan can't say no. He's a tough guy, but he's got a big heart, and he can't say no. Well, here's Marshall. He's the preacher, and here's 10 kids. But half of them are somebody else's kids. The tradition is, can you take care of my child? I can't. And if you can, you take this child in. There are no orphanages there. They're taken in. And they had another one after this. So they have now five children of their own. But that's the way they serve, is taking in children. Mentioned Solomon. Is Connie here? Did she? I know she walked. Oh, okay. Yeah, she's over there, and Ruth Ann's in nursery. But here's Solomon Agoo. See, here's the connections. Solomon came over to visit another uncle. I guess they were connected up the street. And so he spoke, and this is in the auditorium. He spoke, and he was so impressed with what was going on here in Weala that he made sure that Jonathan's wife, Lennon's wife, and one other lady are now in college finishing up their four-year degrees in Nigeria. In fact, I won't get to see Mary because she's in school. So he just really enjoyed his visit, and he's making sure that they are taken care of now over in Nigeria to further their education in the gospel, because the ladies, of course, do a lot of preaching and teaching of the women. So that's Solomon Agoo. Yes, he is retired, and that's the staff of the school. I remember back when it was flooding. What did this congregation do? That building across the street, the vision was always to use it to reach out to the community. So what this congregation do as a community is reach out. Well, this is a reach out kind of story here for the church there in the village. People actually live in this dwelling here that you see. It's sitting in front of the church building. And you can see that it's basically falling apart. And because it was sitting in front of the building, the team wanted to obtain this building. So they made a deal with the people that live in this house. They said, we'll build you a new house. And so that's what they did. That's the front door. This is mud over sticks, whereas the main building is made out of brick with a mortar finish on it. And so that's what the arrangement was made. Well, the villagers scoffed, said, you're not going to get a new house. They're not going to do that for you. But they made the deal, and when people make a deal there verbally, it's a deal. So anyway, the house is built. So they've got a brand new house made out of good bricks, a good roof, and we're going to paint this. I think we just sent money to finish the interior, and then when I go over, we're going to get some of the boys from school together and paint the exterior of this house. But the village was put to shame because they said you'd never get this, and they have it. So what is the reputation of this congregation in the community? Very important, very important. probably the most important thing that's been accomplished there is building this building, which serves as a school and a worship hall. They collected their own sand. They made their own bricks, and these are mud bricks. And if those bricks get rained on, they're no good. And so they're made during the dry season and have to be assembled. And this was back when the building was first being assembled, and this is a little over 3 years ago, okay? So it came along slowly. The nice thing about it is it can be phased. So this is what it looked like 2 years ago. This is what it looked like last year. And then as you... this year I'll take some pictures of the whole building, but of course it's now painted. You can see the perfect colors. You'd paint your own house, right? Pink? But that's their color. That's the school colors, pink and blue, pink and blue. I said, fine. I did have some advice on how to do the trim, but anyway, it's now nicely painted. There is running water. There is no power here. The only power we have is a generator that's in a generator room, which is kind of interesting because, generators are noisy, and you wouldn't want it right in your backyard. So what you do is you go find somebody else that will let you put your generator house in their yard as long as you give them some power. So that's what they've done. The generator house is kind of down the hill, and there's a young man that takes care of it. It pumps the water, and we do have the running water. So the school... This is an interesting situation, and Jonathan's kind of struggled with it because most schools in the area charge fees. That keeps the school going. But as soon as you start charging fees, then the parents don't come to church. Now, this is about spiritual growth. Why are you coming to church? Are you coming so that the church can serve you, or are you coming to serve God and the church? So it's a sensitive situation. So they tried to go with fees. Everybody went away. So now we've gone back to the fees. And so this was a couple years ago, and some money was just sent over to complete the uniforms. They're $5 a piece. And so here's what it looks like today. So... went from 30 students to 300 students. This is what it sounds like. Kind of stand around. That's the teenage boy's house over there. But when Jonathan sent me this, I was kind of shocked because I'm thinking maybe just a minute from there, Sam's going to come out and start thumping heads and saying, quiet, quiet, and everybody will get lined up in nice lines. And, here's an idea that I got from this congregation. This congregation has always honored its teachers. And so I took this idea over, unheard of in Liberia, and we had a teacher's appreciation dinner. There's all the teachers lined up there on the left. And here's a special case. This is Edith Tengba, and this is Jonathan Lennon's mother. And I always have to ask, because everybody's your cousin, everybody's your brother, and I got to say, now, is this a real brother? Is this your real grandfather? It not always is. And so this is their mother, and she is the principal of the school. So not only is she the principal, but right now she's taking care of Lennon's little boy, Divine. And it's very unfortunate. In fact, there's three kids in school, and we would think, how could this ever happen? Well, when you make your own soap and you leave the lye and the sodium hydroxide on, laying around, kids drink it. And unfortunately, Lennon's son drank, the lye, and now it's a lifelong thing because every few years he's got to go in and have the scar tissue cleared out. So she watches Divine. in addition to being the principal of the school. And I see her in the evening leaving dead tired, serving the school, serving her family. And in addition, when I was there last year, she graduated from college with a degree that allows now the school to have higher level grades. So just an example, you know, when we're tired and worn out, you know, look what some people do. So we gave each teacher, I love not Harbor Freight, but Trader Joe bags, right? Took one of those over there for everybody, gave them a solar charger, gave them the last money that they've been paid. They haven't been paid since then. And so that's one thing we're trying to set up is a monthly stipend for the teachers. So this is the teaching staff at that time after the dinner that night. Big deal. The newspaper came and interviewed us. And what came out of this, is Jonathan, he's a politician too. He knows what he needs to do. Well, he invited the city officials. And the city officials were so impressed with what they saw in honoring the teachers that they said, yes, you can have these two lots. Not free, but that they would sell the two lots to us. So this is behind the water tank, and this is where the next project's going to go, the high school addition. But the city official said, you can have it. And he said that night. So, and I think I'm in there dying in the background playing soccer with the kids. But that's what happens when you reach out into the community and the people see that what you're doing for the people in the area. There are many, many children in that area that don't even have an opportunity to go to school, but this provides that opportunity for them to go to school. So the church family, this was the original building. So they came back and they rented this building back in 2015. And when the church started to grow, the owner was of some denomination and he didn't like that. And so he said, I'm going to sell this building. And so that's when we decided to build the team's own building. And they moved out of this, and this is the church family. And this is 2 years ago. I don't have a recent picture of the entire congregation, but it's gone from about 40 people to like 150 people over the two-year period. So what's next? What's next? So the bulletin said, contributions for travel expenses. Well, Jonathan and I talked, and they have an interesting situation. You go rent a car, and then if you like the car, you can buy the car. And so rather than, you know, renting a house, we bought the car. So this is brand new last week. It's a 2006. But what's so nice about it is it can carry many people. So if a seat in this vehicle carries four people, there'll be seven in it. The back seat carries three, there'll be five in it. And something else hanging out the top, and maybe somebody hanging off the top. But Jonathan is always hauling people. Last year we had to take members to the doctor. And the requirement, though, and if he was talking here, they'd hear me say it again, that I've told him 10 times, he drives too fast. Drives too fast on gravel roads, got him into trouble, got his last car wrecked. I said, we're not going to get this car unless you drive slow. So he kind of chuckled. But anyway, this was purchased from an American citizen who was in Liberia who actually deals in cars, so it's a pretty good deal. You know what? God's providence. I had to go to the bank to send money. And when I got to the bank first branch in Bartlesville, the lady took me into her office. And I don't know why that time I said, this is the Church of Christ. And she said, well, I'm a member at Adams Road. Of course, then she calls Darla to get it approved. So you see, members of the church only touched this deal. It's just kind of neat. So, all right, so the vehicle's done. Well, now we're going to try to build the high school addition. And so Jonathan has plans for this. I've asked him for a budget that will phase this out over time because you can do the bricks and you can do this. And like most buildings, if you can just get a roof on it, you know, you can kind of wrap it up. So this is number two project coming up next year. And then finally, this project here is a radio station. Right now they broadcast from the Agriculture Institute, but that's on the coast, so it doesn't reach inland. Now what's so nice about this is that this is Jonathan's grandmother, real grandmother. She's donated the land, and on her land sits a cell tower. And because of arrangements with the cell tower companies and trying to advance the country, we can put antennas up on these cell towers for nothing and also get power from the generator. See, there's no power running out to this area. No water, but you know, they have their cell phones. They have cell service. Except that, you know, my bag is loaded up right now with a dozen of the new 10,000 milliamp hour battery packs because Jonathan's, you know, phone went dead and he couldn't get a hold of me and needed to. So this is a great deal. So this is connected with the Voice of Truth. So that's why I wanted Connie in here, because Connie used to work with the Choates. And when the Choates couldn't do it anymore, then Larry Murdoch took over this worldwide radio evangelism. And there are broadcasts that are done weekly in Liberia. Money funnels through this congregation and pays for a year's worth of broadcasts. But now with their own radio station, he'll be able to broadcast this, but it'll go out to the entire country and it won't be spread out paying individual radio stations. So that's coming up here in the future. So I've asked Jonathan several times over the past several weeks, what should I say? So here's where you can possibly help. And there's two things. First of all, we're trying to set up a monthly stipend for the teachers. Now, I don't know where he came up with the figure, but it's $750 a month. Now, when I went there last year, there's 19 teachers. So if there's still 19 teachers, 750 divided by 19 is $37.50 a month to teach. And they haven't been paid anything since last year. And they do it. You talk about serving God. Which of us would teach like that for nothing? So they are truly dedicated to teaching and it's, you know, Christian school. The other thing is the $400 a month to support the food, because they do feed the children on a daily basis. And so we're trying to get those set up on a regular basis for the teachers and for the monthly food. And so that's an area where you could certainly help. And we've got a start to that'll keep it going here for several months in supporting the teachers. But they're such a great crew. Just some great people that do the teaching over there at the school. And the guys, when they're not teaching, all of them are out preaching somewhere else away from the village. And they have to travel to school every day to teach, do their thing. So a lot of areas to serve. So I just want to leave you with that one thought. Are you growing spiritually? And if you just think of one thing, what are you doing differently today that you weren't doing? And this not only applies to things that people can see, but how about husbands becoming more loving husbands? Wives becoming Christian wives, teaching their children. You know, for instance, my wife, she's chosen that as her ministry, to raise our grandkids in the Lord. And so every day there's a Bible lesson. So think about that. What are you doing differently to grow? If you're just coming here every Sunday and sit and you've done your duty, you've been at worship, and then that's it, that's not spiritual growth. So I would encourage you to consider that. As always, this is a very convenient time to consider. Many new faces here, that people I do not know, and I've watched the bulletin, and some of you may not be Christians. Some of you may come here because Elliot's a great preacher. I did get a text from him last night. I said, hey, just a reminder, you're preaching them. I said, got it. Checked in, ready to go, touching it up. And he is. I've always enjoyed working with Elliot. But that's not what this is about. This is about serving God. So this morning, if you have not become a Christian, if you have not put Christ on in baptism. This is the time to do that. And also, it's also a convenient time to rededicate yourself to serving God. So often we fall away, we get caught up in the things of the world. There's things in our lives we just don't want to let go of. We want to keep doing them. We need to get rid of those. So if there's any need that you have, would you please come forward as we stand and sing.
Have you a heart?